Welcome back to the Power Hour. We are so glad that you are here with us last hour and really joined by just an expert on the subject. Controversial, yes, to some people. I guess controversial to everybody. And the controversy is the weather. It's something that affects everybody. You know, they used to teach in business class how to talk about the weather, because that was supposedly the most uncontroversial subject you could talk about. You know, when you go on a business call, they teach you to talk about the weather. Well, that's not the case anymore. Weather is controversy, and Dane Wigington is hit right on the nail, right on the head on this just important issue. Geoengineeringwatch.org is his website. Of course, Hurricane Florence, whatever. All these. Dane, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for continuing to address this issue that people need to understand. Again, of all the challenges we face, this particular issue affects every single aspect of Earth's life support system and every single breath we take, because the elements used in climate engineering operations are highly toxic, starting with aluminum. And we now, and lab tests prove this, by the way. This is not theory or speculation. We have lab tests from all over the globe. And aluminum, for your listeners to understand, single greatest core causal factor with Alzheimer's and dementia. We have peer-reviewed study to prove that without aluminum, there would be no Alzheimer's or dementia in the normal human lifespan of up to 100 years. Single greatest cause of death in the UK now, Alzheimer's and dementia. Single greatest cause. Third in the U.S. At what point does the American population, aside from the weather, aside from the cataclysm that's causing, aside from the destroying of the ozone layer, this is every breath we take. At what point does the U.S. population understand we are under an all-out assault? We can speculate on the agendas, but the fact that this is going on is absolutely positively inarguable. That's the purpose of our site. We are the biggest site in the world on the subject, most visited site, closing in on 32 million visitors, no advertising, no politics. We are simply trying to wake the masses to the fact that if we stay on the current course, we're not going to be here long.
I think that this obviously is a hot button topic. It obviously is a controversial topic for many things, and you know, Al Gore gets mixed in this truth, not truth, and kind of spurs the subject. Let's start with current events. Let's start with Hurricane Florence. Obviously, the big mass. We've seen almost nothing quite like this, certainly that area in North Carolina. From your data, from your research, what is unusual about that hurricane?
Well, we can look at that in two different lights. From an unmanipulated storm, it's completely unusual. But in regard to recent storms that have hit the U.S., it's just another example of a manipulated storm. So here's the bottom line with Hurricane Florence. We took considerable effort at geoengineeringwatch.org to record that storm from the moment it made landfall and the interaction with land-based radio frequency microwave transmitters that are part of the climate modification grid. These transmitters, with the massively powerful microwave signals they put out, manipulate air masses. It can cause the ionized air mass, it's electrically conductive, the water moisture, the water vapor relative humidity, and the electrically conductive particles that are seeded into these storms from climate engineering operations, again, aluminum, barium, strontium, these signals can repel and move that air mass. So for your listeners, what I would challenge them to do, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and look under the recent and top story sections and look at this two-minute video yourself that shows actual real-time recorded information of those transmissions, a whole grid of them, manipulating the entire path of Hurricane Florence. So the bottom line, Dan, we can speculate on the agenda of the climate engineers, but the fact that that storm was stalled in place, as it was predicted almost 7 days ahead of time, that's the schedule weather. That's not forecasting, that's the schedule weather. I can back that up in a moment. I'll follow up on that. But the fact that it was stalled in place by the use of these transmitters and then manipulated on a particular path, that is absolutely inarguable. This video that we compiled, staying up day and night to compile these images, proves this fact.
Okay, let me go back here, because you said something that just about shook me in my boots. You said the climate modification grid. What is the climate modification grid? What are we talking about?
there are many levels to the climate modification. And again, that's a very simplified term. There's much more to what's going on in our atmosphere. There's the ionizing of the atmosphere, which makes it electrically conductive, which makes it facilitate various forms of communication over the horizon and radar, EMP, electromagnetic pulse, offense and defense. There's weather warfare. There's many aspects of what's happening, but the components that are used to carry out this manipulation, starting with jet aircraft spraying of electrically conductive light scattering particles around the entire globe. It's not a uniform coverage, of course. You see heavier applications in certain areas at certain times. But then these particulates can be maneuvered and manipulated with radio frequency transmissions from the ground. Dan, you've probably seen at times where you see perfectly aligned herringbone patterns in the clouds. Have you seen this?
Yeah, of course. It makes me want to hurt somebody.
Yeah, so... And you can see at times, if you're in the right place where there's multiple transmitters transmitting from multiple directions, you'll see these herringbone patterns actually perpendicular to each other. Now, this is meteorologically impossible without these types of transmissions. We have organizations like the Weather Channel who are nothing more than paid liars for the power structure, whose job it is to cover the tracks of the climate engineers trying to explain all this phenomenon away as natural when it's anything but. But those signature clouds are harbingers of the manipulation of these particulates. Dan, it's like if you put iron shavings on a glass table and you put a magnet underneath and you see how they align in circular patterns, correct?
All right, you're so deep into this. Let me break this down, not only for myself, but for the audience, because this is, I don't want this to be too big for them, because this is so crucial. Your work has been so crucial. My total hats off to you, my friend. Let me back up and slow down a little bit. You're saying that in the atmosphere, normal atmosphere, before chemtrails, what have you, you know, you have water particles, you have dust particles, whatever, but things like some radar won't work on land like it would at sea because the air is just not conductive. It's not conductive, like it can't carry the current through it, so it wasn't conductive.
Let me stop you there before we go any further.
Okay.
No, these operations are carried out over the oceans and over terrestrial locations. You have what's called SBX radar, sea-based X-band radar, on platforms. It looks like a massive golf ball on an oil derrick. They're mounted on ships as well. It looks like a massive golf ball.
Okay.
That's SBX radar. That is used to manipulate over oceans as well. We have installations on countless remote islands all over the globe. But the ionization of the atmosphere, making it more electrically conductive, that's not just over terrestrial or land-based locations. That's over the oceans as well. Once these cyclones...
Oh, okay.
Once they come over land, of course, the ability to have many, many more facilities is there because you have grid power, you have countless locations where these facilities can be put, and the ability to manipulate these storms is much more available to the climate engineers. What we see, and your listeners might remember this, the same happened with Harvey, with Maria. The storms are weakened as they are crossing the Atlantic. A weaker storm is much easier for the climate engineers to manipulate with bigger transmitters like HARP that can transmit from much greater distances and thus help to maneuver over the ocean. So if you remember, with Harvey, with Florence, with Maria, these storms weakened as they were crossing the Atlantic, and yet the forecasters all knew that when they got closer to land, they were going to strengthen, exactly what they did. It makes the storms easier to maneuver when they're weaker. So this is the level of engineering that's going on. We're not saying that these storms are produced by the climate engineers. We can't, although with the mechanisms that are available to them, they could create a low-pressure zone in an area that could help to spawn that, but understand the oceans are superheating, and they absolutely can and are spawning their own cyclonic rotations. So that aspect we can't know in any particular case. What we can know, what we can say for certain as the storms, is that the storms are being steered positively.
Oh, okay. All right, let me. Every time you talk, I get more questions. Deeper, your knowledge about this is impressive to say the least. The information, the newscasters, you made me think about that. You know, the Weather Channel, I believe at one time, I believe it still is, I haven't heard, it's certainly near the top. The Weather Channel is the most watched cable network in America. I believe that's true. If it's not the most, it's one of the most. The newscasters, the weathermen who are reporting on this story, Are they being fed information from the government, from NOAA or some source that's saying, hey, here's how we need to report on this coming storm to prepare the people to get their minds to think that this is going to be normal or something? Do you have any information of that, or is that just too subjective?
It's an exceptional question, and let me try to provide answers for that. Here's what we have. Here's what we know. We know there's a federal gag order on all National Weather Service, an illegal federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees. Your listeners can find that at geoengineeringwatch.org. And for your listeners to know how to search things, all they have to do is, on any search engine, geoengineeringwatch.org, illegal gag order. Geoengineeringwatch.org, Hurricane Florence. Geoengineeringwatch.org, Hurricane Harvey. Geoengineeringwatch.org, wildfires. They can find articles on all this. We have 2,500 articles on our site. Back to what's being passed down to these so-called forecasters, which, as I stated earlier, it's the scheduled weather. They are not forecasting. They are reading scripts. Your question is absolutely on target, and that is absolutely the case. So we know that Raytheon, defense contractor Raytheon, that is neck deep in climate engineering patents and programs, does all the weather modeling for the illegally gagged National Weather Service and NOAA employees. They're literally producing the scheduled weather. It is passed down through the ladder, if you will. We know from our attorneys at geoengineeringwatch.org are suing the U.S. Department of Commerce because NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, was not releasing our Freedom of Information Act request, which they're legally required to give us. They did not release any until we sued the Department of Commerce. And we know from what we've already been given that even down to the local forecaster, the local meteorologist, they are being given scripts and told, and this is right from our data, that our government is more concerned about the consistency of the message as opposed to the accuracy of the message. So this is, I can elaborate more after the break, but this is how, this is the schedule weather.
Well, this is it's sounding a lot like the politics. You know, you flip the channels and it's like they're saying the same the same phrase about a certain subject, whether it's, you know, I don't know, Kavanaugh or whatever. It's like somebody's teaching them a script. And now you're telling me the same thing of the weather. My God, this is, wow, this is amazing. Geoengineeringwatch.org. I guess that's just a natural next extension, right, that they're going to give information to the newscasters, the weathercasters. I mean, just all information that we get is siphoned through a deep state lens. That's why shows like this are so critical to the truth, but also damaging or damning or potentially damning to the structure, because we don't get our agenda. They don't send me a teletype with telling where the storms are and what have you. We have people like Dane Wigington exposing this, a real hero when it comes to this. This is a short segment, Dane. Real quickly, not real quickly, but let's try to quantify this. Now, the chemtrails, when people think chemtrails, I've heard all kinds of reactions from people. Just quickly define what is a chemtrail and define HAARP. We hear those two terms all the time. Define those two really quick, please.
The term chemtrail, which I would highly advise people to avoid using if they're dealing with anybody in an agency or media, that term will be instantly marginalized because there's no scientific basis. It's okay in personal conversation, but beyond that, we need to avoid that use of science terms, geoengineering, climate engineering, solar radiation management. What it refers to is aircraft sprayed dispersions of particulates that are part of solar radiation management climate engineering programs. Again, these particulates ionize the atmosphere. They make it more electrically conductive to allow them to maneuver the air mass more readily. And they're light scattering particles. That's a primary stated objective of solar radiation management, to try to control a greenhouse effect on the planet by putting sun-blocking particles in the atmosphere. That's what got me into this issue, Dan. I have a background in solar with Bechtel Power, the largest engineering firm in the world. My home is on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. It's a completely off-grid home with a massive solar system. I was losing massive amounts of solar power from whatever these aircraft were emitting, which clearly could not be condensation. I was losing 80 to 90% of my solar PV uptake on some days. So that's... again, there's many, many layers. So the application of these particulates in the atmosphere that are then maneuvered, manipulated from ground-based transmitters. HARP is an acronym that is specifically meaningless to people. It's High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. That means nothing to anybody, and that's the point. They don't want you to know that it's an ionosphere heater, a massively powerful microwave transmitter that can heat Earth's atmosphere to unimaginable temperatures, over 10,000 degrees, according to military data. Wouldn't the population be alarmed if they knew such facilities were blowing holes in the ozone layer, which they are doing? And HARP is only one, by the way. There's perhaps as many as 100 large ground-based facilities around the globe like HARP, and there are many, many more smaller facilities like the ones that show up in the video we are referencing that steered – these are NEXRAD facilities that steered Hurricane Florence and on Florence. Cell towers. Yeah, on Florence. On cell towers
– that's what I was going to ask you.
Now, those – towers, we know in many cases, if not most, are being fed with 10 times more power than they need for cell phone repeating. And we know that's an even bigger grid of weather manipulation facilities. The cell towers are being used. The power that's being used for weather modification is far greater than what's being used for cell phones. So the dangers from those frequencies are immense. And we know they're being used because we see them show up on precipitation radar loops affecting the precipitation. There is no question that's a part of the grid as well. And what your listeners need to understand on the why, and we can go into this after the break, but there is very real danger or damage done to the planet. And this is not about Al Gore, which I know none of us like. I have great disdain for Mr. Gore. Carbon credits are a sham. But the damage is real. We've been very poor stewards of the planet. There's no arguing that. Climate engineering, the single greatest destructive factor. So the more damage they do, much of it from climate engineering, the more they ramp up the climate engineering to try to mask the damage already done. That's a true definition of insanity, is it not?
Let me ask you about those cell towers real quick. Yeah, yes, it is. Not to avoid your question. Let me ask you about the top of these cell towers. I've been told that the top third is supposed to be reserved for the government somehow to be able to use. Do you know about that, and is that what they're basically doing?
On any given tower mast, all the components can vary. But the bottom line is, in many of these installations, and I know people in this industry, there is 10 times more power being fed into those masts than they need for cell phone repeating. So obviously there are many more agendas being carried out. If we look at the 5G scenario, 5G used for crowd control by the military, what does it take to alarm the U.S. population? And let's just take the weather. How many people think the weather is normal anywhere? And how can we not? We live in a fishbowl. We live in a fishbowl. You can't do what we've done, starting with climate engineering, the intentional global-scale manipulation of Earth's life support systems. You can't do that without consequence.
Dane, just let's put this down. Just don't spend a lot of time in it. Was it the 70s? There was a treaty between the nations. They had this technology, and they agreed not to use it on other nations, just weather manipulation technology.
Yes, UN treaty after Project Popeye in Vietnam, an illegal weather modification program that was used to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail, was brought to light. This treaty was formed by the UN, but in that treaty it did not restrict individual nations from experimenting on their own populations with weather modification. That being said, not that any nation has paid attention to that treaty anyway, and we have 800-page Senate documents. Your listeners, again, can find that. Search geoengineeringwatch.org. Massive Senate document, just for Senate document, they'll find that with excerpts so you don't have to go through the whole thing, that prove countries around the globe are and have been cooperating completely, colluding and cooperating. This includes Russia, China, and the superpowers who we think are in a conflicting situation. They are colluding and cooperating on climate engineering because of the cross-border ramifications. You can't just climate engineer over your own country. It affects the whole world. So they're all playing weather tug-of-war with the Earth's climate system with highly toxic elements And we know from that document that it calls for total blanket immunity from legal prosecution for anyone and everyone involved in these programs. So, again, very damning data that we have at changingwatch.org if people would just look and understand the gravity of this issue.
Big. This is big. So if somebody, governments, deep state, what have you, is this CIA, just real quick, yes or no, is this CIA, is this an offshoot of them? Who is it in America, government or Defense Department, who?
Numerous agencies involved. Again, we have
all of the above.
An 80-page presidential document also calling out, naming about 10 federal agencies, about 12 major universities. This web is massive. And again, for those who think that if this was true, the whistleblowers would be lining up to tell their story, not true. We're working with the geoengineeringwatch.org, two former U.S. Air Force two-star major generals. I interviewed one. That interview is on geoengineeringwatch.org right now. Commercial-free one-hour interview. And the general makes clear no chance is anyone involved with these programs. He acknowledges the existence of the programs, but no chance would anyone involved line up to speak out because the consequences of doing so are unimaginably grave. So people need to understand the full scenario. And the excuse that if this was true, somebody would be blowing the whistle, absolutely untrue. And who do we see blow the whistle in the torture? Dan, John Kerekou, who was the only one to go to jail, the only one. The whistleblower.
It's not light work to tell the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We've seen that all the way back to the beginning of our country. Now, this engineering of climate, somebody at some point saw, I'm guessing they saw a way to control the populations, to do radar between the land. I mean, who knows what the ultimate reason are. They decided to do it. As they began engineering climate, what they began to see is that they were destroying the same climate that they were supposedly engineering. So now we're to the point, so many years later, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Hey, we better deflect the sun rays because we've destroyed the ozone or we've done whatever. We better keep doing this because if we don't, we'll reap what we've sown here. Is that kind of a self-fulfilling circle here?
Yes, that is a major aspect. That's correct. The more they engage in the manipulation of Earth's climate, the more damage that they do, the more they ramp the programs up to try to mask the damage already done. Now, as far as the why, again, some of the documents I just mentioned, the government documents I mentioned, state very clearly that our government felt that it not only had the right to decide where it should rain, how much, and on whom, but the responsibility. They felt they had the responsibility to decide who got rain, who didn't. I mean, this is the arrogance of a completely uncontrolled government, and I would argue it is completely off the rails. And no political parties involved here. I would argue the entire system is...
Well, all of them are involved. They're not here. Yes. You don't want to say it. I'll say it. They're all freaking involved.
Yes.
Every
yes.
freaking one of them
yes.
is involved.
Yes.
This isn't
yes.
Democrat, Republican.
Nope.
Every one of
nope.
them.
Yes.
Oh, my
exactly.
God. Okay. You talk about responsibility. They say they have the responsibility. Again, this is socialism, ladies and gentlemen. They have the responsibility to rule over you because they know better than you. You see the mindset here? Anyway, I digress. The responsibility to control rain, what have you. We've seen some awful weird weather as far, not hurricanes, but rain patterns, California, dry, heat, what have you. Let's talk about that. Well, you live in California. Let's talk about that.
It is literally like living on another planet compared to 15 years ago. I live in a boreal rainforest where we got 70 inches of rain a year. We had about a three-month dry period in the summer. That is now doubled. And during that dry period, the humidities are far lower than they were, and there's not a drop of rain. The temperatures are far higher than they were before. We have been hovering at 100 or more for nearly 6 months in a forest in Northern California. Everything is dying.
Wow.
And this high-pressure heat dome, which you can see the effect of on satellite imagery, which we posted at geoengineeringwatch.org, you see a massive half-circular bubble pushing any moisture offshore away from us. What happens with that bubble? What purpose might it serve? One, it parches the forest, and the entire West Coast forests, North American West Coast forests, were absolutely brought to a tender dry situation this year where the fires burned unimaginably hot. Same thing on the West Coast of Europe. What purpose might that serve for the climate engineers? I encourage your listeners to look at a report that is about five or six post down at the top stories in the recent columns, the climate engineers are using the wildfire smoke as part of their programs. It's a 22-minute report, lots of science data there, but that's how desperate they are. So this high-pressure dome ensures that no moisture can penetrate into the West Coast. It is absolutely, whatever the agenda, it is absolutely a result of climate engineering, and they can keep this dome over us as long as they want. And, Dan, that dome in the northern hemisphere spins clockwise, like a rotating wheel. That spins the moisture up and over us, back down around a counterclockwise rotating low-pressure zone, which they've kept over the East Coast, which spins the moisture back up along the East Coast, where it's raining constantly, chemically nucleated, and the most populated half of the U.S. is kept cooled down while much of the rest of the world is frying. Again, the consequences of climate engineering manifesting in every part of the planet.
All right, let me ask you, we've seen this with the fires earlier this year in California. There were some massive fires, almost like, I don't want to seem too out there, but they also almost seem like directed energy weapons. They're blowing up places and melting cars, what have you. We've seen that. We've seen what you're talking about, these forest areas now this continues for much longer or many more years. I would imagine a big part of the forest is going to die. The bell that goes off in my head is Agenda 21. Are they regulations? What do you think there?
Whatever agendas there may be are moot points. I don't deny that there's agendas in certain circles of governments, but those agendas are moot points. On the current course, nobody gets out alive. Not us, not them. And I mean on the very, very near-term horizon. In regard to the fires themselves, I have considerable firsthand firefighting experience, including operating equipment and including working with Cal Fire, the largest firefighting organization in the world. I spent about 40 minutes yesterday on the phone with a top Cal Fire official. It's a good personal friend. In regards to the narratives that are circulating, and I know this directed energy weapons narrative seems appealing to some, could they start a fire from an airborne platform? Yes. Could they do what's being claimed? No, absolutely not. And would they need to? Absolutely not. These forests are burning like they're soaked in napalm because there's record low fuel moistures. And some people claim we had all this rain last year, so the fuel moistures are high. That's nonsense. The fuel moistures dried out faster than any point in history this year because of the desiccant particles. These particles we've described, Dan, accrete atmospheric moisture, so it sucks the moisture out of everything else. The fires or the forests were dried out so that they would burn hotter. So, again, this 22-minute report at geoengineeringwatch.org will explain how the fires relate to the geoengineering issue. But once those fires are started, however they're started, they absolutely burn furiously on their own because of the conditions on the ground. That's the fact of the matter.
In Utah right now, we're seeing massive fires similar to what you've experienced in California. I know that the environmentalists for a lot of years, they didn't want the cows grazing in the mountains. They didn't want the loggers coming in and getting the underbrush and the dead trees. And now these fires, once they go and so dry, they are uncontrollable. Uncontrollable, the environmental issues working with all that. It's just totally decimating this. Maybe comment on that.
The hypocrisy from the global warming environmentalist community right now is mind-numbing. I'm an environmentalist to the core. I would do anything to help restore a healthy planet, but that means doing what makes sense. And the bottom line is right now, you cannot have a legitimate discussion about the climate without first and foremost discussing climate engineering and all the global warming environmentalist groups, all of them. And I know this because our attorneys have communicated with their attorneys. They will not address the climate engineering issue because they're afraid of losing their 501c3 nonprofit. Total cowardly hypocrisy.
Wow.
Bottom line.
Donald Trump, let me ask you this. Does Donald Trump know about this? Do you have any concept or any thought to that?
I have firsthand knowledge. Trump's top campaign people and Carson's were assembled at a meeting at a U.S. Air Force Major General's home, two-star general, whom I know personally, communicate with regularly. They were briefed entirely on this issue. They were warned about how dire it was. They were given extensive data from geoengineeringwatch.org, and what has happened with climate engineering is being ramped up, not down, and we have Trump officials on the record in full support of climate engineering. Why would they support climate engineering if they deny anything's wrong with the climate? So let's add that one up. And for your listeners to understand, same was true with Obama. Same was true with Clinton. Same was true with Bush's. This is not a political issue. It's not a political issue. And we need to understand that. The threat from climate engineering is real. Military-industrial complex is not about to let go of this crown jewel weapon.
Well, that's my next question. If they were briefed about this, the dire situation, and they still, not only did they not ramp it down, they're ramping it up, this has got to be just a pure power grab.
Ultimately, yes, that's what it's about. You have to look at it through the lens of the military-industrial complex. They are not about to change business as usual. And, Dan, you correctly alluded to part of this equation, the once-in-1,000-year drought that happened in every single Middle Eastern country that General Wesley Clark was told would be taken out 1 week after 9/11, every single one undergoing a once-in-1,000-year drought. That's weather warfare. Countless other countries undergoing the same. I stress to your listeners as they're sharing this with other people, this situation. My conversation yesterday with a top Cal Fire official was to try to undo damage that was done on this issue, on the credibility of this issue, from narratives that are not accurate and that alienate the very people we need to reach. So sharing credible data is key. That's what we supply at geoengineeringwatch.org. We supply links that can be downloaded for free. This is not about monetizing anything for us. We supply materials at our cost to people from our site. We're simply asking for people to help us share data, help us share information at a grassroots level. We have to reach a critical mass of awareness. And, Dan, before I forget, we have a free event in Northern California, October 20th. We'll post on that next week. Completely free, as all our geoengineeringwatch.org events are. Free materials, Holiday Inn, Northern California, Reading. We'll post on that next week. But we are doing everything we can to sound the alarm. Our lives depend on it, quite literally.
What would be, okay, for our listeners, and they're talking to their family or something obviously has moved them from this conversation, from this information. They're talking to their family. They want to share something with them. Obviously, you can't dump this whole thing on your family. What's a simple hot button thing that they could say to their family that would get them interested and maybe start them think in a different paradigm?
To research the science terms, climate engineering or geoengineering. And we have a 20-page fact and photo summary booklet on geoengineeringwatch.org. You can download the full link for free. You can print it yourself. You can get it for us, but you can for our cost. But you can share just the link, and that is a very, very broken down, comprehensive, filled with inarguable photos, documents. That is the single best introduction awareness tool there. It's on the left of the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. It's a fact and photo summary booklet. You can share that PDF link with your family. If that doesn't wake them up, they're not going to wake up.
Sometimes when I talk to people, family, what have you, when these storms start to come up, like Florence, they comment, wow, did you hear about that or whatever? I'll say, yeah, they controlled it. The government manipulated the whole thing. I'll just put something out there like that. Is that effective? Just throw it right in your face, something sharp like that?
In general, it's too much for them to digest in one meal. If you look at the type of introduction that's in the 20-page fact and photo summary booklet that illustrates how this has come on slowly in a way that people have not recognized this is going on, it breaks it down in a manner and shows the visuals. It's much more palatable for people than, for example, pointing at the sky and ranting, which tends to make
palatable
people just shut down. Yeah, well, I don't want to
palatable. You're talking about palatable.
More so than
palatable. My God.
Yeah, more so than pointing at the sky and ranting. Though is all I'm saying, that if, when people can look at visuals, I mean visuals that are inarguably not natural. NASA satellite images of square clouds, square low pressure systems, radio frequency manipulation that is inarguable. So those visuals are typically a much better key to the door than trying to verbally convey an issue of this gravity and complexity.
We got about a minute or so in final thoughts. I want you to comment on, because we talked about politically, we talked about constitutionally, where we are. We're at the breaking point in so many major things that we hold dear, are really our whole lives. Everything is on the line in so many areas. At the same time, I feel like there's an energetic change coming that people are, their minds are being awakened. They are finding conviction. They are finding truth. They are finding their footing, their power, all these things. I see that. Do you feel optimistic? Do you feel pessimistic? Where are we going? Are we going to win? What? What do you feel?
That depends on what we do. Action. Action must be taken. What does biblical scripture say, Dan? We are required to take action. We can't sit on the bench and do nothing. That's not allowed. And that's happening, not just in the environmental groups, but it's happening in many congregations where they have pastors telling their congregations, it's all in big hands, you don't need to do anything. That is not scriptural. We need congregations.
How do we need, yes.
We need them to hold
here, before we run out of time, how do we, here, stop, no, pause one second, Dave. How do we do that? How do we motivate people, get them to see any kind of action? How do we do that?
To make them understand they are quite literally fighting for their lives and they have a responsibility to their children, to the web of life, to the planet. We're required to be responsible. We're required to do our part. We have data, information that can be shared at geoengineeringwatch.org to help us from a grassroots level reach a critical mass of awareness, which is the only way forward in this battle, and that will take all of us, Dan.